Okay. So and it'll make more sense once we go through what we're going to go through. James, we're in, continuing in James chapter 4, and then we're just going to go through a couple of verses, which is the reason why there's not that much writing on the board. So anyways, so James chapter 4 and then verse 9, and when you first read this, it doesn't make sense. You know, it doesn't make sense if you just read the surface of it, and then when you scratch a little further and further, and then it absolutely does make perfect sense. And then, of course, in these verses, we have to keep in mind of what James had written about in earlier in this chapter and the chapters before that. So that all plays into effect into these two verses. So James chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into gloom." Okay, so we're supposed to be miserable. We're supposed to mourn. We're supposed to cry. You know, we're supposed to have, turn our day is supposed to be gloomy. Okay, so like I said, when you read it, it doesn't make sense. But when you stop and think about, James is referring back to the sins that these people were, these Christians were committing, you know, the arrogance, you know, and hostility to God. He used the word hostility, like an enemy of God, and so you should be sad about it. You should be you should feel remorse. You should mourn that. You should, and it's the action of the sin that you're committing against God, that God's people are committing against their Lord and Savior. Okay, so. So that's what he means by be miserable. You should be ashamed. You should be miserable. You should feel guilty about what you're doing, mm-hmm. and it should cause that effect of mourning and crying. Now we've read about David. You know, we know the story of David. He committed a sin, and then Nathan came to him and told him, "Man, David, you messed up." And David he knew he did. He didn't deny it. He didn't skate around it. You know, Nathan gave him a really good way had a really good way of explaining, you know, about the one sheep and everything. But anyways, so David, he was miserable because he knew he was sinning against God. And then, but you know, unfortunately, David lost his little son. And so, but David had joy in the Lord. David's joy was turned to misery because of his sin. And then when David repented, and of course after the punishment was administered, and David's misery turned back into joy again. So that's the whole purpose of the title of the lesson: joy, misery, joy. And we're going to go through times where we fail the Lord, we fail God's people, but we make it right. And like Sharon said, you know, purging, we get rid of it. Okay, we feel a lot better having done that. You know, so I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 7, 9, and 10. I'm going to read it. You can follow if you want, but that coincides with these verses. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say 1 Corinthians?
No, 2 Corinthians.
2 Corinthians, okay.
7.
And then verse 9 and verse 10. It says, "I now rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance." And that's what the sorrow is supposed to do. That's what the mourning is supposed to do. That's what the being feeling ashamed is supposed to do. It's supposed to promote repentance. Okay. "For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, in order that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance." That's what they call a godly sorrow. Okay, that's the product of being sorrowful. "Produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation, but the sorrow of the world produces death." Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the tricky part. Okay, we do things and we knowingly do them, we should have known better, but it produces repentance, but it says without regret. That's the hard one that we have. It's like we want to kick ourselves over and over because we messed up, God has forgiven us, we repented, God has forgiven us, but then we still have that ability to say, man, I shouldn't have done that, but it's over, it's done with, okay. Now, this is not a sorrowful, like right here, not misery to the point of depression or death. And death, what I mean by that, is people get to the point to where they commit suicide. Okay, they get so sad and depressed by their mistakes, by things they've done. That's that worldly sorrow. Okay, but we don't have that. We don't lose hope, you know, on what we're still capable of doing, the good that we're still capable of doing, even though we have setbacks after setbacks. Okay, so we can have joy in being in bad circumstances, as far as material circumstances, maybe not having a lot of money or a nice house, we can still be joyful in that. But the moment that we commit a sin against God, we can have the riches of the world and still be miserable, you know. So, anyways, I'm going to read the last verse. It says, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Humble yourself in the presence of the Lord. And some in the Old Testament, you have some people that prostrated themselves, you know. They had like laid themselves flat on face on the floor. I know I've done that a time or two in places that I've been at too. So you lay yourself flat on the floor, and that's humble, okay? Not humble to the point to where you say, well, no, I can't do it because I don't have that talent. Not humble to that point, but whatever talent you have, do not brag that this is coming from you, you know, give God the honor and the glory. So, yes, our joy is when we're serving the Lord and we're doing everything the Lord tells us to do. And our misery is when we're not. And then our joy is when we repent of that and move on from there. And we learn from it too. So, it'll like David. I think this is David that explained that it was like a dead bones.
Yep.
Like you felt like dead bones. The food don't taste good. The sun doesn't even shine. Can't even shine bright enough. You know, so.
It's funny when you mentioned about that. I remember I mentioned in class, the Satan, you know, he can get a foothold.
Right.
Even in your sorrow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Look what he did to Judas.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened here. Judas had a worldly repentance.
Right.
You know, like you always say, you know, he was just sorry he got caught.
He's sorry he got caught.
Yeah, yeah. But he had a worldly, you know, and Satan won him over, committed suicide.
And see, that's... that's the thing about sneaky about Satan. He'll use whatever tool he can.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll see that button or that little weakness that we have, and he'll use that and he'll run with it.
He had a lot of regret.
Yeah.
In what he did.
Right, but he never repented.
He never got it right. The wrong kind of repentance.
And he would have been happy he would have done that. Even though, I mean, Peter, you know, denied Jesus three times.
Yeah.
But he repented. He got it right, and still became a strong, powerful man of God.
Amen.
And didn't live into the sin, the thing that he committed or the thing that he did wrong.
Amen.
Years ago. So anyway, so that's the